Hi everyone, you just tuned in to Set for Success with Richard Lannon, your host. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, or life. We're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time. So we uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. I actually want you to say that right now. And I think we all wish that for you from this industry, that you do deserve to be successful. And say it, I deserve to be successful. Hey, whether it's in your business, your career, or life, yes, you do. So if you tune into the show, you know that I absolutely love quotes. And I always try to open up things with a bit of a quote around industry or around just a thought or an idea. And as I was surfing around on the internet the other day, I came across one that actually talked a little bit about clean energy. And so here's the scoop. Neglecting clean energy sources such as solar, wind, and especially nuclear can result in blackouts, increased power bills, and take a heavy toll on the efforts to reduce green gases. Now that was from Christine Todd Whitman. And Christine Todd Whitman is an American Republican politician, author who served as the 50th governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 2001, and was the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency in the administration of President George W. Bush from 2001 to 2003. Yes, even a Republican can speak green. And I don't usually make statements like that. I don't know about the nuclear side so much in part of the quote, but I thought the quote was actually quite interesting. And I don't necessarily agree with the nuclear side, but hey, you never know. Maybe it does work out. There are many great innovations that can save us time and money. But what is the positive to the environment, to our economy overall? There is a green economy, and I often like to say somewhere, and I do know it exists. I work with some organizations that are involved in the green economy. And there are a number of companies that are actually in the mix. But first, I think we need to understand a little bit about what a green economy is. And a simple definition is sustainable development through using products and services that do not degrade the environment some way. So don't take away from the environment, maybe help the environment or help our organizations or us individually. So to help us, I guess you got to reduce, reuse, and recycle can be a big part of the green economy. It contributes to a clean economy along with lots of different kinds of technology. As the sun beats down in Canada's western towns, you have to wonder how we can take advantage of the incredible amount of sunshine we receive. Solar as a clean and renewable energy must be creating a stream and moving forward. There must be some advancement in this whole space, especially in our world where we seek alternatives to fossil fuels to something new. If anything, to augment our dependency on fossil fuels, so we are less dependent on them. Just this week, I was chatting with a group of business owners who plan on introducing electric cars, for example, for delivery vehicles or as delivery vehicles in the next 3 to 5 years. The only reason why they're not doing it today, they felt in the next 2 or 3 years, it just wasn't time. But in the next 3 to 5 years, the technology would be there. And they talked very clearly about the idea of being green or being clean within their companies to sort of help out our environment. From only providing locally grown foods to technology to help decrease our need on fossil fuels and to get us off the pod, off the power grid system, I often wondered what some of the alternatives are. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wondered who could share their business journey, their life journey with us. Somebody who has been involved in this economy and making it sort of work for them and their organization. Somebody knows something about energy, renewable energy. In fact, I thought it would be awesome if we could connect with a CEO who created a company from nothing and now works with customers to offset or eliminate their exposure to high energy prices. Who else could I possibly hang my hat with today but Justin Phillips, CEO and founding partner of Sycamore Energy. Justin, welcome to the show.
Richard, thank you for having me today.
You know, you've been on the show before with me. I think it was about maybe 14 months ago or so. You told me a little bit, came and shared your story. I think it's always a good place to start is, you know, where you came from and that. So a bit about your background, and maybe it's a good idea to repeat that right now a little bit. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Justin.
Of course. No, thank you, Richard. Justin Phillips, I'm the CEO and founding partner of Sycamore Energy. Myself and my partner Alex started the business back in 2008 with the intent on filling every urban rooftop with renewable energy, whether it be solar power or wind turbines. And we've evolved significantly since 2008 with respect to installing solar right across Manitoba. We've done some installations in the Caribbean, Australia, India, Alaska. And so we've seen an opportunity to grow our business in this sector. Manitoba certainly is a renewable energy province. We have been for over 100 years. So we see a great opportunity not only to continue installing solar, but to really focus our attention on the renewable sector here in the province of Manitoba.
And now, is the I'm curious, is the renewable energy sector, is that a growth industry right now? Like, what are your thoughts overall? I mean, I know that's a pretty big question.
Absolutely. You know, we're seeing growth, you know, in our business alone, just over the last 3 years, we've grown from 2 employees, myself and Alex, to 38 employees here that we've employed. And we continue our growth west into Saskatchewan. We have installed over 150 projects here in the province of Manitoba, ranging from as small as 1 kilowatt to 200 plus kilowatt systems. To put that in perspective, you're talking about four to eight solar panels to over 700 solar panels. So it's a significant difference. Everybody ranging from, you know, a homeowner like ourselves to big farms or commercial buildings that are installing these systems. So we've seen an exponential growth, not only here in the province of Manitoba, but even moving west into Saskatchewan and Alberta, there is a significant uptake of renewables here in Canada.
Well, that's really great to actually hear. Is there anything that's actually driving, I'm always curious what business drivers are, what's driving the sort of renewable energy business from your perspective at this point in time?
Well, certainly in Manitoba, there was an incentive that was offered by Manitoba Hydro for several years, a pilot project that ended last April. And there's no question that that certainly helped, you know, with the growth of the industry itself. There was two or three of us, you know, in 2016 operating over the last several years. And once the rebate kicked in, it really encouraged industry to grow. And I was happy to see that. You know, competition is good. And it really helps grow our industry here in the province to north of 40 companies or individuals that were installing solar, involved in the solar industry in some perspective, which equated to probably over 1,000 jobs, which was a great boost to our local economy. Since the rebate ended, we've seen a drop. Of course, we've seen companies either go out of business or move on. But that's generally how it works. You know, if you're dependent on a government subsidy to run your business, you're clearly doing something incorrectly. But the growth is still there. We're still selling solar systems commercially to farmers, to residents post rebate. So there still is an opportunity. Is it as plentiful? No, it has slowed down, but there is still opportunity, and we're proving that there still is a market here in Manitoba.
I think that's awesome. I like to hear that you're still proving that there's a market for you, and especially when you spoke about some of the international work that you did. I think what we might do is we'll take a short break. I think when we come back, we'll step back and really just find out, how did you get involved in this industry in the first place? This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Justin Phillips today from Sycamore Energy. You know, Justin, just before the break, I was curious. You were telling us a little bit about what was going on in the industry now, and the renewable energy industry and the solar panel industry and stuff. But I can't help what got you involved in this industry, because there's just so many industries you can go into. But to pick a green industry, renewable energy industry, I mean, that's a specific, I don't know, calling or something gets you into it.
Richard, that's an interesting question, because I had zero experience in this industry before I started back in 2008.
Which is amazing in itself that you had no experience in the industry. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, self-taught, that's for sure. And we continue to self-teach internally with all our employees. Back in 2008, Alex, who's a close friend of mine and now my business partner, approached me, and, you know, sitting on his balcony in Osborne Village, overlooking, you know, all of these buildings in downtown Winnipeg, thinking there's so much unused rooftop real estate, which is what we called it. How can we take advantage out of that? How can we monetize that at the same time? You know, we were interested in green technology, and really, you know, we could be here a long time explaining the story, but I'll give you the Cole's notes. We saw an opportunity. We put a business plan together. We raised money through family, friends, and fools being us, put as much as we could together, went out there and just started you know, selling, you know, other people's products. About 2 years in, we decided to make our own wind turbine. We thought we could make a better widget. So we decided to revamp our business plan. We leveraged some government funding through the federal and the provincial government. We joined an incubator at the University of Manitoba called the Eureka Project at the time, which is now sort of morphed into North Forge. And we hired an engineer. And we depended on the engineer to design what we felt would be a better micro wind turbine. We went down that road for about 2 years, and we started running out of money. And we realized quickly that it was really difficult to raise funds for R&D. And so our last sort of hope to glory was applying for the television show Dragon's Den. And we did that in 2011, and to our surprise, we were accepted. And we got to film that show back in 2011. And we went through that exercise with little success. It was great because it aired and we got a lot of publicity, but we didn't get a deal. And we were driving back and decided, well, what do we do? We either, you know, throw up the white flag and or we continue pushing along. So we decided to go back to sort of the initial thoughts of selling other people's products, putting some money in our bank account ourselves, and then utilizing that money for the R&D for the wind turbine. That's where Sycamore Energy was born, because we felt we needed to rebrand as a company because we wanted to sell solar. So in 2012, we rebranded to Sycamore Energy. And we started selling solar products, and we started selling some clients throughout, you know, the U.S. and the Caribbean, because Manitoba was always a difficult market because we do pay arguably cheap, you know, cheapest electricity here in the world, certainly in North America. And so we started putting some dollars into the bank account, and then realized and saw what the potential investors saw. The other side of the coin, where, you know, do you put this money into R&D? So you spend $1 million on R&D, and then all of a sudden you need another $1 million because you're 60% complete. So we decided to shelve the wind turbine idea and just continue with solar, and we haven't looked back. And we've had exponential growth over the last 4 years. Again, going from 2 employees to 38, and we're still growing. And we expect to double that over the next 18 months with our move into Saskatchewan.
Yeah, let's talk about your move into Saskatchewan, because that was one of the things that I tweaked. I think I saw it on a LinkedIn post or mm-hmm. or some article about you. Tell us a little bit about that move into Saskatchewan. How does that all come about, and how is that moving forward?
Absolutely. No, thanks for asking that question. We're excited to move into Saskatchewan. We're growing our business, and we continue to move west. Saskatchewan is a great opportunity for us and for our customers out there. They pay very expensive electricity.
Okay.
So offsetting that with renewables such as solar is a great opportunity, not only for them, but for us. We recently moved into Moose Jaw. That's where we're setting up our Saskatchewan office. And we've set up a subsidiary of Sycamore Energy, because we like to do everything local. As we expanded into the Dauphin area in Manitoba a year and a half ago with our electrical contracting company, we're doing the same in Saskatchewan. So there's great opportunity for the agricultural market, which is our core target market in Saskatchewan, to utilize and do what Manitoba farmers did here, which is where we experienced our largest growth. So we're pretty excited to move into the Saskatchewan market and bring our expertise west as we continue to move.
So let's talk about that. I mean, one of your key markets is obviously the agriculture market, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, and you used a very interesting term. You said what the farmers did there. So let's back it up. What did the farmers do?
So here in Manitoba, during the pilot project, there was an opportunity to net zero your usage here in Manitoba of your energy. Yes. Yeah. So farmers were taking advantage of literally hedging against future electricity increases. And that really is what you're doing when you're purchasing solar. You're not purchasing a product like a fridge or a stove. You're investing in the technology to hedge against future electricity increases. I think we can sit here and the audience can agree that, you know, prices for electricity are going up. Yeah. What percentage that is, that's debatable, right? You know, you may think it's X and I may think it's Y, but prices are going up. And that's essentially what customers are doing, specifically the ag sector, is they're used to hedging every day.
Yeah,
when it comes to their products that they sell.
Sure. If you look at anything for the land itself, any kind of seeds, any kind of growing season, the equipment that they use, they're comfortable in that hedging.
Exactly. And that really is the sales pitch to the agricultural industry is hedging against future increases. So you're locking in your rate. You're investing in solar specifically. That's what we sell. And you're, because of the lifespan of the panels is over 30 years, you're investing in that 30-year hedge.
Yeah.
So you're locking in your electricity rate. So what that produces is X amount per kilowatt hour, as opposed to you're paying 8.25 cents this year. Maybe you're paying 8.75 cents next year, 9 cents, et cetera, et cetera. And in Saskatchewan, they pay almost double what we pay here, almost 14 cents a kilowatt hour. So the case can be made. It's a much shorter payback and turnaround time for the investor.
So we're going to take a short break, Justin. But when we come back, I think we should talk a little bit more about the payback for customers and maybe what some of the key opportunities are for them. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Justin Phillips. Justin is one of the founding partners of Sycamore Energy. Justin, just before the break, we were talking about payback periods for one of your big customers or clientele is the agricultural industry. Could you speak a little bit more about that? I know that there's a disparity from what you said, and just like to repeat this, between Manitoba Hydro costs and Saskatchewan Hydro costs. So what kind of payback the most farmers receive?
I get asked that question a lot, you know, being the frugal market that we are in, myself included here in Manitoba, we're always looking at, you know, how many years does it take to pay back? And,
yeah.
And we try and educate our customers that it's not necessarily the years that you have to look at, as opposed to you're renting electricity, and whether that be in Manitoba or Saskatchewan or anywhere
any other province,
matter,
yeah.
You're renting electricity from your utility in perpetuity forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're always going to succumb to those increases. Rates, whether that be 3.5%, whether that be 7%, 6%, whatever that rate increase is, you're always going to continue to be accustomed to paying that rate. With solar, wind, whatever else you're going to invest in to produce your electricity, you're locking in that rate. Solar panels specifically have a 30-year lifespan. So the levelized cost of electricity, which is what sort of the term is the cost, the production into your total cost, including your maintenance and upkeep over the 30 years, et cetera. So that already is cheaper than Manitoba Hydro rates and Saskatchewan rates. So you're taking your money up front, you're investing your $20,000, $30,000, $100,000, whatever that investment is, and you're investing it into solar and you're hedging against those future increases. So if you net zero your electricity use, whether that be a 50 kilowatt system, a 200 kilowatt system, that's all dependent on what your usage is, then you're investing that money into locking in your rate. So that rate might be 6 cents a kilowatt or 5 cents. It all depends. So your investment is not so much paid over, you know, a term as much as you know what your rate is going to be for the next, you know, 30 years. It's going to be that one rate. It's not going to rise. But if you were to ask me how many years it's going to take, in Saskatchewan, it's roughly about 10 to 12 years because there are other incentives available to the ag market,
okay.
Whether it be, you know, not having to pay PST on the product. There's a federal tax initiative called Class 43.2 where you can write off 100% of your asset in the first year, which they just improved last November in 2018. So there's other incentives that drive that agricultural market to make that payback and that financial investment much more attractive.
Okay, so there are some things along that lines. What is the opportunity for, I guess, the ag industry to get involved in the type of energy sources that you actually provide?
Oh, it's great. You know, there's 15,000 farms here in Manitoba. There's 30,000 plus farms in Saskatchewan. If these are generational businesses.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that the average age of our consumer in the ag sector is probably 65 years old.
Okay.
Now, you wouldn't think that, someone my dad's age would be investing in something that's 15 or 20 years, but that's what we're seeing because these are generational businesses. They're the buyers are investing in their kids and their grandkids' future. Mm. So they're seeing great opportunity for increasing their bottom line, which is exactly what investing in solar does, or any type of renewable technology. Rates are going up. They're not going to stop going up.
No, so they're not. I think we can all agree with that one.
Yeah, if you can hedge against that, this is an opportunity to do that.
Okay, so that's, I find it very interesting that you bring up that as a generational business because I work in a lot of different industries and I have by the nature of my profession what I've done. And you don't always hear people say that this is a generational business. It's... You're dealing with, I'm going to say, real estate, so agriculture, land, which hopefully can be moved on properly. But then a lot of companies is sort of like they might make a generation or two or three, but then maybe there's no longer that interest. So they sort of span out or the company moves, it's no longer there, right? Then
correct,
which become a big issue. Now, you guys have been in business how many years?
11 years. It was in February.
11 years. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah. I'm going to ask you the key challenge question. Wow. What are some of the challenges that you've had over that last 11 years? Maybe the last few years might be more appropriate, but yeah, what are some of the key things that you guys have been challenged with?
I'm sure everybody is familiar with Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah.
The owner, the founder of Facebook.
Yes.
I often say that if as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, a small business owner, if you think you can be a Zuckerberg overnight, it's impossible.
Yeah.
There are so many challenges. 99% of us don't make it through the first 5 years, let alone 8 years as 11 years as we have. There have been a long list of challenges, whether it be financial challenges, raising money, which we all know is a common theme here in Manitoba and
Canada,
right across Canada in general.
For small and mid-range businesses,
it's always a challenge. We've sacrificed a lot, when it comes to this, and I'm no different than any other startup or small business. I guess I'm so far so good that we're sort of that 1% or 5% that have made it past the 5 years. That was always a challenge, raising money, and trying to convince somebody that we have something here. Whether it be, I've been called stubborn, stupid, whatever the name is. We just ignored it and we just kept going and pushing. I'd like to think that, I'm a smart enough individual to know if something will work or if it won't work. And we just kept going. We knew there was an opportunity. We knew there was a market for what we did. Granted, we started, a renewable energy company in arguably the cheapest energy market in the world. And that was a challenge in itself. But we made it through the hard times and we just kept going. And most importantly, we've surrounded ourselves with such a solid team. The people that work for us. Let me rephrase that. Sorry, the people that work with us at Sycamore Energy love this business as much as we do, and those people are hard to find. And we have a very low turnover rate, and we pride ourselves on that. We've been successful over the last couple of years. We've won several awards, the Environment and Energy Award for the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce a year ago. We won the Small Business of the Year Award for the Manitoba Chamber last October. And it's nice to be recognized, but it's really important that our team is recognized because there's absolutely no way we'd be where we are right now without, 36 solid employees,
Yeah, and it sounds that way. I mean, I wrote down a few words as you were speaking. I wrote down the word perseverance, and then you put down team, and then sort of put down values next to it. It sounds to me like to be in the business you're in, you'd have to have a value that says something that you believe in renewable energy. Right, you'd have to be something in that lines there. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break, Justin. When we come back, I think we should talk a little bit about future challenges and where you guys are going. This is Richard Landon for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Justin Phillips today, and Justin is the, I guess, CEO and founding partner, along with his partner, Alex, of Sycamore Energy. We've been talking about renewable energy source resources, particularly in the area of solar and wind. I think those are the two spaces that you're really involved in. One of the things that you and I talked a little bit about in the break was, you know, what is the future? What does the future hold for Sycamore Energy? Because you've been around for 11 years now, and you've learned through a lot of perseverance and determination and the value that your employees bring. And 11 years is a long time, right? So what's next? Where are you guys going next?
Well, we spoke about our move into Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, which is...
So immediately we're moving west. We're considering expanding our subsidiary, Sycamore Electric, into more other rural towns, such as Thompson, Manitoba, and Brandon, the Verdun area, with that subsidiary. Sycamore Energy's growth is allowing us to explore other opportunities. We are re-entering the Caribbean market. We are re-entering the Caribbean market to look at somewhat different sort of business model when it comes to solar and utility opportunities. Alex and I actually are heading down in about 6 weeks to Costa Rica to look at opening up a shop down there. So, you know, we'll continue the growth pattern that we have, certainly in Saskatchewan. We expect that we can duplicate what we did here out in Saskatchewan and employ 20 to 30 staff over the next 18 months in the Saskatchewan market. And we're excited to continue to grow our business west. Q1 in 2020, we're also looking at expanding ourselves up north into the territories where there's great opportunity for what we do.
I'm curious. I love the word that you're talking about, expansion, because me, and working with clients, and we've talked a bit about this, is I always love the fact that if you can bring something to a business community and you can help put the food on the table, a roof over the head, and clothes on the back of somebody, the family. In other words, you give them a job, right? I go right down to the basic Maslow concept. I love those thoughts, but I can't help but think in terms of your particular organization and the industry you're in, that there's a skill set that you're often looking for. Maybe you could speak to that. What kind of skill set, as you guys are looking to expand, what kind of things are you looking for in the people that you may be working with to help you out to succeed?
So I would say about 2/3 of our team members are electricians, general labor skill sets.
Okay.
With about 1/3 being administration, sales, engineering, management, etc. As we expand into Moose Jaw immediately, it will be sort of the electrician and laborers to help us install. Something that we really focus on, and we've done, certainly we did it in Dauphin, we're going to duplicate this out west, is everything is localized. So outside of our brand, our name, we work with local insurance agents. We incorporate locally. We buy our trucks locally. Everything is done locally, so we can help support that economy. We are a Winnipeg business. You know, that's where our head office
that's
is.
That's our head office. Yeah.
Business.
Yeah, yeah.
But our Saskatchewan head office is Moose Jaw. Everything is expensed in Moose Jaw. And we're really, really working hard to do that. And as we expand into Southern America or North, the same sort of model is going to work. So immediately, our expansion will include hiring local laborers to help us install and electricians to help lead the teams.
Yeah, so I think that's awesome, because I think that goes right to the heart of what I often refer to as community economic development. You're right part of the community. And so when something happens in the community, you know, you've got an investment, right, in the mm-hmm. people in that community.
Absolutely. And we expect, just in Saskatchewan, in Moose Jaw alone, over the next 18 months, at least $1 million, so, you know, into that community, into that local economy, just with the growth of our business. And that's exciting to hear. It's exciting for us, of course, as a business, but it's exciting to be able to work with these communities and help grow the opportunity and educate people on this new industry.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Actually, educate people on this new industry. I sort of wonder, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. You came at it from not having any knowledge or experience. I mean, other than probably what you read in the newspapers. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's what everybody sort of knew, right? The general solar panels or whatever it is. But what is it something that you really want to achieve? Like, what, you know, if we're going to big some big thing, what is it something that you really want to achieve?
Global warming is real.
Okay.
Climate change is real, and you know, part of our mandate is to help educate people on that fact, and that's a very, very broad statement. I understand.
It is a big statement.
And again,
it's
that's a
statement.
Whole different show to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's important for us to help educate individuals, companies, the ag sector, everybody in general, that there is a solution to this. And there's always going to be, you know, two sides, right, in their beliefs and what they feel is the right thing to do to curb that. But that's one of our mandates is to help, you know, educate people on renewable energy and on solutions to help sort of curb these issues that we're having right now or slow them down in any case.
I want to go back to something you mentioned before. You talk about net zero usage, and we talk about being on the grid, but not being, I guess, still connected to the electrical grid. And this is just a question for me. I mean, in Manitoba, in Saskatchewan, or any of the provinces in Canada, do we have a situation where you're actually able to give back power to the grid? Is that something that actually exists?
Yeah. So we our specialty is sort of behind the meter. There's grid tied, there's off grid.
Yes.
So off grid, you're using solar panels to charge batteries, and then those batteries are in turn powering what you need to power. And then there's grid tied, where you're offsetting what your use is with in this case in Manitoba Hydro. So net zero is just is allowing you to zero out your consumption or your requirement from the utility. So over the course of 12 months, you're at a net zero. So if you use 1,000 kilowatt hours annually, over the course of 12 months, and your solar system over the 12 months produces 1,000 kilowatt hours annually, you've net zeroed your electricity consumption.
And yet with the idea that you're not now having to pay that electrical bill.
Correct. So you may have, always think about this over a 12-month period. You may have a credit, in this case, for $500 in July. You may have a bill for $200 in December. But over the course of that 12 months, your bill will be $0.
If there was something you could eliminate, what would you like to eliminate?
What would I eliminate?
Yeah. Got your pause on that one.
Well, I am pausing on that. I'm trying to sort of eliminate and maybe expand on that question a little bit. If you don't mind.
I guess just in terms of the industry overall or the work that you have been doing, if there was something within your business or within the industry you'd like to eliminate, what would that be?
The stereotype that solar doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it takes quite a bit of education. We live in the most solar-rich provinces, sort of southern Manitoba and southern Saskatchewan.
Incredible amount of sunlight.
It's unbelievable, right? Yeah. And we have I wouldn't say trouble, but there's challenges in terms of educating people that solar does work in the north. Solar will work in the Yukon, and it does work in the Yukon, and it's about education. And I would say 85% of our sales, presentation is about
educational. Yeah. Awesome. What a great guest. I'm glad I asked that question because I think he hinted on to a little bit about the knowledge about solar and the impact it could have in our economy, in our communities, in our businesses. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
The best way to get in touch is probably to visit our website at www.sycamoreenergy.com, SycamoreEnergy.com, or give us a call at 204-691-7775.
Great show. Awesome guest. I love it when you provide all these details. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
To all those startups and small business owners, don't give up. Perseverance. You know, we're living proof that if you can get through the hard times, and there are hard times, and there will be hard times, you can get through. If you can get through the worst, you'll make it. It's don't give up and just keep pushing
forward. Thank you, Justin. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
To our guests, I want to thank you for tuning in. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. If you have a thought, a question, an idea, just send it to me at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember something. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.